bring in Todd Lushko, co-host of Leafs Nation pre- and post-game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, and as I mentioned, we'll have tonight's Leafs-Bruins game, the first of the back-to-back. How you doing, Mr. Lushko?
Good, good. Jeff, Matt, good to be on board. I got to read. Logan Stanley is a beast. I've seen that. I remember watching that kid in Waterloo Minor Hockey. He's playing Triple A hockey, and he was a man among boys. And he is. I got to agree with you, Matt. He's going to be unbelievable when he gets there.
Having watched him in Windsor, and he was hurt a lot of last year with a knee injury, and former first rounder to Winnipeg, I think 13th overall. Once he gets a little bit quicker. He's going to add to that hulking defense already out in Winnipeg with that size, but much better hands, much better vision for a guy almost 6'8". I think at this point in his career, and this is drawing a big comparison, pardon the pun, but he's better, if I remember, than Zdeno Chara at this age.
Wow. That's, you know what, Zdeno, he did have a bit of a, no, obviously when he was in Ottawa and stuff, and they moved him out, and it took him time to develop. But yeah, that's a big compliment to him. But I've seen him play a number of times, and I got to agree with you, this guy's going to be a good one.
Mr. Lushko, we've talked a little bit, Matt and myself, about playing back-to-back games and sort of the psychology of it. And we had Mike Babcock on, or I should say, we played a tape from him. He was asked yesterday about. Sort of sports science and managing injuries, and I think it was in reference especially to Auston Matthews. First of all, I mean, I'll ask both you guys this. Auston Matthews, and we don't have any in-depth medical knowledge. I mean, for all we know, upper body injury could be the flu. I mean, I don't know. But you've got a back-to-back against Boston. Do you play Auston Matthews?
Well, my assessment here, if there's any sort of lingering injury that you think is going to be, that's going to manifest into something a little bit worse than it already is. Listen, you don't play again until, you got, 4 days after the back-to-back, so you don't play against, until New Jersey against on the 16th. I'm like, this guy is your superstar player. I know that he probably wants to play. And sometimes you've got to take the decision away from a player. And I was listening to Matt earlier talking about, managing minutes and stuff for players. And, players want to play all the time. It doesn't matter if he's got a little bit of a nick or maybe it's a 50-50, he should or shouldn't play. Sometimes you got to take that decision away from him, and especially when you're dealing with a guy like Auston Matthews that is going to be your franchise player for years to come. If there's any question that the next two games could hinder him a little bit and maybe drag it on a little bit more, you don't play him. You let him rest, and you've got those 4 days before you play against New Jersey again on the 16th. I would say that you take the decision out of his hands and you sit him if there's any question that he's hurt at all.
I agree with you. Without knowing the injury, it's really hard, whether it's a lingering, whether it's going to get progressively worse, or it's just something that you're dealing with a little bit of pain here and there. But he wants to play. You know that. Like we said earlier in the week, there's guys that won't play till they're 120%. Auston Matthews wants to be in that lineup. We can tell by him just missing one game from the start of his career. So I agree. You got to take it away from him. And it's not, you're not making the playoffs by November 10th. You need this guy. You need your star. You need him healthy as you go through. But not knowing the severity of the issue that he's dealing with, it's really tough. But certainly if he's not 100%, I wouldn't be having my star in that lineup right now.
And you know what else, Jeff and Matt? The other thing is, this is kind of a gut check time for the rest of the guys in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I mean, you always want your best player in the lineup, regardless. But a division rival like Boston, Auston Matthews out of the lineup, it gives the other guys. It's a challenge. I mean, I listened to Nazem Kadri get interviewed before the game against Minnesota, and he talked about what does it mean to have Auston Matthews out of the lineup. And he went on to talk about, this is a chance for other guys to step up. We have a good team in here. Yes, we'd love to have him in, but you need an entire team collectively to come together and try to fill the void of a guy like Auston Matthews. And I think it's a challenge for other guys that are going to get Auston Matthews minutes to show that if something like this happens again and he goes down, Mike Babcock and the rest of the coaching staff is confident that they have the team that can move forward. And I think it would be a challenge for Toronto. If they go through this weekend and they manage to beat Boston back-to-back without an Austin Matthews, and albeit Boston is really, you know, they're hit with the injury bug as well. But if they can go through that, that's a mental confidence that the Maple Leaf players in that locker room get, that if something happens down the road to an Austin Matthews or somebody else of significance, they know they have the depth to compete, and that's a good thing for the team.
You know, it's funny, Todd, I get asked all the time whether, you know, we'll use Austin Matthews as the guy right now, but, you know, how does it affect the players in the locker room when your star is not in the lineup? It doesn't affect them one bit. They get a chance to play in situations, a little bit more ice time, maybe get a little bit better stats. And it is, you have to be a little selfish in being a player because you want to do the best you can for yourself and for the team. But they aren't worried about Austin Matthews. The people that are worried about Austin Matthews are the media. We're talking about it. The coaches, obviously, because you're a better team with Austin Matthews in the lineup. But it goes like even for bad teams. People say, well, don't the players, aren't they excited about getting Connor McDavid in the draft or Austin Matthews? Players don't care. Players, yep. That Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are coming to take someone's job. They don't care about guys that aren't in the lineup or future considerations, whatever it may be.
Now, you're bang on that. And it's funny because you look at your own, you know, personal career, what you did and stuff, and obviously yours spanned much greater than mine did. But, you know, I remember playing a couple. I remember playing where it was the Vancouver Canucks, and we're playing. I don't know if it was regular season or exhibition, but we got into a 5-on-5 line brawl, and thankfully I wasn't on the ice. But I'm sitting there and I'm watching all these guys get kicked out of the game, and I'm sitting there and I'm pissed off. Like Theo was out there. I remember, then you had Paul Kruse, Sandy McCarthy, all the regulars, but Theo and the bigger guys that were getting all this ice time, they're getting booted out of the game, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the bench whittle down further and further, I'm going, the coach has got to play me now. This is awesome. I'm not going to be sitting here and be the buffer zone between the defenseman and the forwards. I get a chance to go out. So
it was a bad sign, by the way, Todd, when the backup goalie left to take his pads off, right? You knew, at that point you're in trouble.
Yeah, well, and it was even worse when they told me to put the pads on. So. But the thing about that is, yeah, you do get excited and you get a chance to get a little bit more ice time yourself. So, yeah, with that being said, listen, the overall grand scheme theme of things, you want your best player on there, and you're happy when you're winning. I mean, when it's Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, Matt, and we're sitting there and your best guy's not on the bench, you're really upset. But when you're game 16 into the season or 17 or 18, and you have an opportunity to prove to everyone that you're a regular NHLer, you don't mind those minutes. So, yeah, for players, they miss them. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect them. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, game one of the playoffs, you want Austin Matthews in there. If you're Nazem Kadri, you're Bowie, you're any one of those guys. Because then it's about winning. I mean, not that winning isn't the most important thing during the regular season. It is, but it's a long season. Every day in the playoffs is a new day, and it's the end of the day, end of the world if you lose that game. So you definitely is a different mindset.
No, I agree. That's exactly what it is. And again, this team is not going to be, you know, it's interesting because the fan base of Toronto is like, I don't care how the guy feels. I just want my team to win all the time. The guy that's paying, you know, $300 for a ticket tonight wants to see Austin Matthews play in the game tonight and then in Boston. Obviously, they're excited to see him. But listen, at the end of the day, if it's the best thing for Austin Matthews to sit these next two games, you do it because this guy is a franchise player for your team. And the most important thing is you got 4 days off before your next game.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. The one guy, you know, I'll switch one thing up. The one guy would play back-to-backs and go hard at him. I don't know if we'll get into that, but it's Freddie Anderson. I know that Mike Babcock doesn't like playing the goaltenders back-to-back, but I think this weekend is the type of weekend you throw Freddie in tonight and tomorrow night because of the fact that you got 4 days off before your next against New Jersey.
I was going to ask you about that. And plus, you know, it's a division game. I mean, why not? And he played well. Why not?
No, I think there's situations in the schedule and parts of the schedule where you go, okay, well, you know, this doesn't make sense. We play again on Monday. We need Mac Lenny to go today. But this is the perfect situation where your team is getting on a roll. They come off of that atrocious road trip where they went 1-3 out west. They've been able to build a little bit of momentum again on this homestand, taking care of Vegas and then Minnesota. Now you've got Boston at home. You want to take care of that. And if you win this tonight, you want to keep the ball rolling. You don't just want to – and you're not mailing it in. I don't agree with that. And, you know, go throw the backup in. Hopefully we get a win. Mm. You want to win every single game.
Absolutely.
And I just think that this is a situation and the time of the year that you can ride Freddie Anderson for two nights And I truly believe that if they win tonight, even if they lose tonight, I would go back with Freddie Anderson tomorrow night in Boston.
I guess the only caveat is you need to see whether or not there are any lingering effects from that play where he got his arm caught.
The hyperextension on his arm.
Exactly. What he said was after the game, you know, he said, look, it hurt initially, but it seemed to be okay. I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing. But then the fact that the Leafs did give him a day off yesterday, you know, I guess we'll find out from Mike Babcock today. But I'm with you. I mean, Matt, if he's healthy, I think you play him back-to-back.
I'm really bad. You know they say know your weaknesses?
Yes.
Well, Jay McKee and myself, Jay coaches the Kitchener Rangers, and he's the head coach there. And then the reason I went into coaching, but I used to tell him, I go, I'm going to tell you my one weakness. I know what it is. Mm-hmm. I trust my starter too much, and I'm going to rely. He'd ask me every day, who do you think should be in net Thursday? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, well, got our starter. Mm-hmm. You know, Luke Opelka, he's drafted by St. Louis Blues. And he'd win that game or whatever, and who should we play Friday? Luke Opelka. And he's like, when do we play our backup? I go, I don't even know the backup's name. We were halfway through the year. I still didn't know the backup's name. I said, I told you, this is my weakness. I really don't care about my backup. I'm bad. And I know it. Like I trust you for this one because right. I'm always going to my starter. I was very fortunate knowing the names of all three of our goaltenders. They were all Luke. We Luke Opelka, Luke Richardson, Luke Fyle.
So you're never wrong.
Go with Luke. And I was okay. He's like asking me the backup's name. I go, see, Luke, what's his last name? I had not a clue.
You know, I had a different weakness. And when I was playing, you talk about your coaching. My only weakness was, Matt, was after pregame skates and then getting into your pregame meal lunch, my weakness was the chocolate sundaes after eating the spaghetti and chicken.
Hey, I got to ask you, Todd, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, but Kevin McGrath's story, the Leafs have to, you know, if Nikita Soshnikov isn't in the NHL by Tuesday, he does have the option to go to the KHL. And look, I don't see why he would necessarily exercise it, but I think, I think the kid belongs. I think the guy belongs in the NHL. What do you do with him when you look at this team right now? And you know, assuming Matthews comes back healthy next week, and there's no reason not to at this point. What do you do with him? And especially, I mean, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but what if you win these back-to-back games? Now, who do you take out?
Well, I know this is a difficult situation. I believe the problem with Soshnikov is talking to Chris Johnson after the post game the other night. With Soshnikov, he has, I believe, there's three more games left too. If Toronto keeps him on the roster for three games, then he has to clear waivers. And right now, the ideal situation is you've got some flexibility of moving guys up and down, and you kind of want to keep that as a safety blanket in case you need him. The minute he plays three more games, I truly believe if he goes through waivers, there's enough teams in the NHL that agree with you, Jeff, and I agree as well, that he would get picked up. So you've really got to evaluate what's going on in the future. And I think now, you know, you look right now, but you got to look long term. So first of all, does Nikita Soshnikov and his agent think it's the best option is to go back to the KHL? Or is it, you know what, I'm going to stay with the Marlies right now for the time being. I will be that team guy. I'm having a good season. I played 12 games. I got 10 points down there right now. Yeah. I'm a young guy. I know that I have a future with this organization. And he looks at the roster and goes, well, who can I supplant up there? What's going on with unrestricted free agents? I love Leo Komarov. I think he's awesome. But you have to look at the future and find out what's going to happen. Is Nikita Soshnikov as big as Leo Komarov and as tough? No. Does he have that edge? Does he have that grittiness that Komarov has? Yes, he does. Can he play again? Does he have the offense of Komarov? Yes, he does. So you start checking off the boxes and figure out where you stand in the organization and figure out, am I going to be on this team in the future? Yeah, I'd love to be in the NHL right now, but is Toronto going to sign Leo, or would they go for a younger option like me? They're going to be up against the cap next year. I mean, it's all math and stuff, and you're thinking about it, but at the end of the day, Soshnikov has to do what's best for him.
Right.
And I don't believe at all that he's going to jump ship and go down there. Or go back. Yeah.
No, sure. Todd, I was just going to say the other thing too is everything indicates that Mike Babcock likes him and that if he's up here, he will use him. You know, there's not that to worry about. Same with Kasperi Kapanen. There's not that to worry about. The head coach realizes what you can do.
Yeah.
The the hardest part in that whole thing as a player is just it's trying to be patient. It's easy to say for us, mm-hmm. be patient. But when you think you should be there,
yeah,
it's the hardest thing to preach it to your client for the agent when he's saying, "Why? Well, I want to make more. I want to be there. I don't want to be riding buses anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to do this. I can go back to the KHL and make this." Unless he has a burning desire to play in the National Hockey League, guys want to make the money and they want to be in the top league.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. You look at, you know, he played 52 games for the Leafs in the 2015-16 season. And then last year, only six. I know there was injuries involved with his concussions and all that. And now this year he's played, he's played 12, I guess, with the Marlies organization. I'm sorry, I was reading the Marlies stat. But Sajikov is a very useful player. The bottom line is they don't want to lose him for nothing. And I think that they've got to reevaluate it. But it's tough, like you said, Jeff, if they go in and they win these next two games against Boston, for in the immediate future, it's tough to pull that out. And Babcock likes his lineup, doesn't like to bring guys up too much, doesn't like to tinker too much. So it's an interesting situation. Again, I think it comes down to the agent and Sajikov figuring out where he thinks he fits in long term. And to Matt's point, it's patience that's needed by him. And as a player, yeah, you look in a lineup and you go, I should be there. You look in the league and you go, I'm better than this guy or that guy. And at the end of the day, you probably are. But your organization is so deep up the middle right now, and it's up front. It's going to be interesting to see what Toronto does. And I'm thinking that some of these pieces that they have, that's a logjam where some of these young guys aren't getting in because there's so many guys. You got to imagine that down the road they are going to try to improve their back end, add a guy, and maybe a few of these pieces are going to have to be in that trade situation. And it's going to give that guy either an opportunity with your organization, or you may be in that trade and you may be able to, you know, start a career somewhere else in another organization.
It's a nice problem to have if you're the Leafs.
Sure.
You know, it's tough, but it's a nice problem when you can't find a spot for good players in your organization on your team. It's a lot better than years ago when can truck anyone up and throw them in the lineup.
Well, and you know, this is kind of a rare year for the Leafs as well, again, compared to what we're used to seeing, because you've got even your fourth line is playing pretty well, and it's not because your top three lines aren't playing well, you know, relative. It's just that your fourth lines are playing really, really well. I mean, Matt Martin has had some of the best shifts of anybody in this team, and again, you know, where do you put the guy in? And the other thing about Leo Komarov, and Todd, you'd know this, you know, you're around the team a lot more than I am. Leo Komarov seems to be a pretty important guy in that dressing room, too. And you got to be careful about that, right?
Oh, 100%. The chemistry of that room is so important, and you can't understate what that does in a locker room. And I'm talking about long-term. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with
right.
I love the guy. I think he wouldn't be going, I don't think his name is even in a conversation. I think you'd re-sign him in a heartbeat tomorrow if you didn't have the depth that you got. And that's, yeah, as you mentioned, it's nice to have that problem in Toronto. But there are guys that can maybe fill in and do what mm-hmm. he's doing right now. But, yeah, chemistry goes a long ways. I mean, I didn't get a chance to play with Matt too much. I got a chance to play with him, Barnaby we're talking about, back in, I guess it was the 2000 or 1998-99 season with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I got called up. And, you know, the reason why Matt had such a longevity, I think he'd agree, it's not because he was scoring 50 goals a season. He brought a toughness to a team. And when I was in Pittsburgh for that little while in the playoffs, I saw what he brought to the dressing room. I understood the chemistry that he brought. And he brought an energy, and guys really, you know, they liked having him around. And that's a huge commodity to have. So, I mean, guys like Matt had great careers, not only because they're good players, but because they were good in the room and the guys liked them. So, yeah, it's a real important factor in the dressing room. I kind of felt that I was a little bit of a glue guy when I played as well. So you understand that is important, but there does come, you know, it's a different generation now. It's a different NHL. I mean, with the salary cap, everything goes on.
Yeah.
It's a numbers game. You really have to pick your poison of what you're going to keep.